Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
All right, man, back with you. As promised, Wes Blakey, Cale Geese joining us this morning on The View from Wayne America. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dan.
And, well, I was looking at your agenda last night, it's kind of like everybody else is ending their year, you're kind of beginning your year.
Yeah.
You're weird.
It was both, you know. We met as the, you know, our old council and then reconvened as the new council, so...
Okay.
Beginning and end.
I think that's a compliment, Dan. We're weird.
Well, it's good to be weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always, you know, prided myself on
You've embraced
that.
It.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, let's see. Well, you want to go through those specifics about...
Yeah, I guess the real thing to mention is Chris Wehler chose not to run again. Mm-hmm. So last night was his kind of sending off. You know, he was there in attendance for the plaque to be given to him, you know, for dedication of service. And Chris provided a nice construction background, a lot of insight there. You know, for those of listeners who know him, he's a bit of a contrarian, which was good to shake things up a little bit on council. It always keeps everybody on their toes. So he's a voice that we'll definitely miss. And then we reconvene with the newly elected Clayton Bratcher. So he'll be representing Ward 1 in Chris's place going forward.
Everybody else is the same, though.
Yes.
So that's the one significant change as far as the council is concerned, yes.
Yep, and in terms of our composition, for sure. Yes. And then not changing, the council elected Jill Broderson again to be the council president.
Jill is still president, okay.
Yep.
So I'm sure I get to talk to her eventually sometime. In there over the next year.
Yeah, you better not be hoping that I can't make meetings just so you can talk to Jill. I mean,
oh, I like you both.
We don't bring her out here very often.
Every once in a while.
We should.
It's been a little while since Jill's been here.
She tries her best to avoid, you know, speaking out here, even though she does a good
she's
job.
She's my council person now. She didn't used to be, but she is mine
That's
now.
That's right. We gerrymandered you.
Yeah, you moved me.
The little notch on Ward 4.
So she better
Dan
come.
Dan insisted that he be represented by Jill.
She better come see me, by golly. All right. Well, next election comes around, well, you know. Let's see, but then a lot of other reappointments type things too, and then not just the council.
Yeah, after we did a bunch of housekeeping stuff with you know, the Department of Transportation and our highway agreement, you want to talk a little bit about how that works?
Who's cleaning our streets?
Well, we clean our streets, but the bigger issue has been we've gotten a lot of complaints on the highway proper being. There are lots of potholes, and we throw a little black patch down. We've been told that in 2025, they'll be around to do some maintenance stuff with the highways. So what we do is they are responsible for the maintenance between the two main lanes, and then we technically have maintenance responsibility for the center lane or the turn lane. But we have an agreement with them that they actually take on that maintenance for us, because if they're out doing one lane, it makes sense to have them do all of it. So that's the thing. And then we certify that we do certain things during the year. We appoint a street superintendent every year. That's Joel Hansen. And then we get an incentive payment. It's a whopping $3,000, but it's something to pretty much go back into paying the agreement for them to do maintenance in the turn lane. So we
can be looking for them to do some maintenance on the highway within the city limits over the next year sometime.
Well, no, in 2020.
Yeah. Wes kind of breezed over this because if you're a regular listener on The View, you know, you've heard Wes talk about this before, but just how ridiculous this is that we go to the state and say, hey, there's patches of the highway that we need to get fixed properly. And they said, great, thanks for reaching out to us. We'll be with you in 2025. Like,
yeah, okay.
And that was a year ago?
That was about a year ago.
Whoa. So it's like, oh, thanks for your input. We'll get you in 4 years. Like, We'll have a new governor by the time. The governor will be in the latter half of his first term by the time we get to you.
We'll hope we don't get any big sinkholes.
So when you're complaining about how slow the city is, just be thankful that we're not the state. And then you think about how efficient the state is. And imagine what the federal government would do. They'd be like, you know, the year 3000, we might be in your neighborhood.
Okay, so don't expect any maintenance over there.
Well, and when it gets
super frustrating,
really bad on 7th, there's one spot that's pretty bad there. I think Nebraska by 7th and Nebraska is pretty bad. Nebraska, Lincoln. That one has been, the city has thrown some stuff in that hole.
Take care of it.
Yeah. I mean, we just pretty much tell the state we're going to do this because something has to be done. And so we take care of that at that point. But
we can only do so much, too, yeah. You know? And you don't want to violate that agreement because they're super strict and they hold the purse strings, right?
Okay.
So. $3,000. It's way more than that. Through grants and things like that. And we get highway allocation funds. And so, yeah, there's much more than $3,000. But it's just funny that in order to get that $3,000, we have to do certain things that they should probably be helping with.
Okay. Anyway, so that got taken care of as far as what you guys needed to do at the beginning of any particular year.
And it's housekeeping.
Yes. Okay, well, a lot of other appointments, too, I see, though.
Yes, bunch of appointments. We kind of changed the way that we used to do this. If a mayor was to get on and not want to keep any of these directors, it would be super awkward. You'd have to have, like, a firing process. And so they need to be appointed yearly, so all of your directors, all the way down from the city clerk to wastewater, were reappointed, and then members of certain teams and commissions that help out. The problem resolution team is going to have two new members in Ellen Emdeck and Rita McLean, and then Kevin Peterson will be stepping on for the Civil Service Commission.
Okay,
and those were just seats that were vacated through. Terms expiring and people just choosing not to run again,
So those are the new appointments.
Yep.
Okay. I see we reappointed JEO Consulting too.
Yeah. So having a city engineer really benefits the city. I think we pay them $12,000 a year on a monthly contract. And what that gets us is one of their engineers who specializes in water and wastewater. He comes over and is actually in the office. He holds office hours for 8 hours a week, I think he said last night. And during that time, we can come in and bounce ideas off of him. And then he's available on projects for grants now that requires to go out for engineer. There is these grants that they tie you to an engineer. We used to go out for bid for all of our engineers. And if you have a city engineer, you don't have to go through that process. And the sticky part of that is the grading scale for the who you choose to be your engineer is not tied to finances. So if the person's the most qualified engineer, you have to go with them, even if they're the most expensive engineer. And so we were overpaying for engineering on these grant projects. And so that's going to free up more money, more dollars to be used for the projects themselves and not get lost in that engineering. So it's a bit of a racket that we're avoiding, and we like JEO. They do good work. Of course, we've had our run-ins with them on some major projects but that's just the cost of doing business, really.
Okay. And Amy Miller is still our city attorney, I see.
Yes, we did her review last night. So I'll meet with her, make sure that she's comfortable with all the feedback, and then the next meeting will actually approve her contract for the next year.
Okay. That's still to come yet. Okay.
Yep.
While we're on the subject of lawyers, have we resolved any issues related to the illegal problems we were having? I know the case was dismissed and all that, but as far as payment of lawyers and all that?
Yeah, that's all.
It's not entirely taken care of. We still have to pay.
We have our R. Perry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
We have an insurance claim. We'll have an insurance claim at some point from the attorney. So we haven't paid that. We just know that we have a $5,000 deductible, so we won't have to pay over $5,000. But I'm not sure what that total bill will be.
Okay.
And then we also paid our city attorney on the side,
right?
Because her contract states that any litigation is something outside the contract, and I don't remember what that dollar figure was, but we paid her something, and then we'll have to pay the insurance. Well,
I knew there was, you know, yep, some fees involved.
Oh yeah,
we're thinking of somewhere around the tune of $7,000
total that will out of pocket for us. Yep.
Okay, all right. Then we got into significant things. Back to the discussion with the schools.
Yeah, Wes, you want to take that?
Yeah. So the school and the city have been meeting to talk about their building plans and mm-hmm. things like that. You know, we've thrown in that activity center concept. That's kind of, that's in neutral. We're not pushing that at this point. But school is interested in the parking, or the land west of the parking lot at the CAC. And so, that will likely, I envision that will come to council here in the next couple of meetings, of like a memorandum of understanding saying, if the school needs the property for construction, they're going to go out for a bond probably in March or April of this year or of next year. Then we'd enter a purchase agreement at that time. So, still logistics that have to be worked out on, you know, youth football, where would that go, and make sure that they're allowing us to use their property and that type of thing. But, I think it's in the direction of that's where the school would like to see, a K through or a preschool through to at this point.
Okay. So more discussions yet to come on that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and it gets a little complicated because they gave us all that ground to begin with, but then we've made improvements upon some of that ground, so it's kind of like, what's fair, you know, because you got different tax bases and just trying to get the mm-hmm. dollar amount squared away.
And as Wes said, we are using that for certain things, and we have to still be able to...
Yeah, we're using that. They're going to be using that. So those are the details that are small, but, you know, anytime you're exchanging amount of money, you know, whether that be for parking lot improvements or...
And I like to mention this. I just talked to Kiwanis on Monday, and I reiterated this, that we are lucky that we have the relationship we do with our school and our county. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just some communities do not have that pleasure of having those types of relationships, that we're able to sit down and talk to each other and work things out that mutually benefit us. So
I mean, that's very...
Yeah.
It's nice to have a problem-solving discussion rather than, yes, you know, a dispute.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. It's good to know that egos don't get in the way.
Yeah.
All right. Then we got into discussions about Wes's new office.
My new office. At the church? Dan? No. Yeah, so the next couple items, you know, we've been talking about City Hall. What are we going to do ultimately with City Hall? Are we moving over to the Emeritus Building? But with that, we have to secure property to the north of the Emeritus Building, which is the First United Methodist Church. They've agreed to sell. We've agreed to purchase with some contingencies. We would have to acquire the Emeritus property as well. And so that's still being looked into. Likely, hopefully, by next council meeting, we can have somebody hired or to approve to be hired to get us a real cost estimate, a true cost estimate of what it would take to renovate the inside of the interior of that building. So we're still a ways away from any of that, but we had to secure that parking area because we would need that for likely a garage for the police department in the future.
So bottom line, no final decision has been made on whether to purchase the Emeritus Building. But if you do purchase that building, then you have an agreement to
purchase the land
next to it.
This is one of the things that had to happen if we choose to move down there. And if you haven't been following this closely, the old City Hall building was built as a hospital. You may know that, or you may remember that from your Wayne history.
I was there.
If you remember your ancient history.
I had a cyst removed from my ear by...
What room, Dan? We're going to name that one after you.
I don't remember that.
But there's major renovations that need to take place, and the design of the building is just, it's not great, and everything's encased in concrete, so that when you start tearing into walls to get to pipes that need to be replaced and upkept, you're talking about major renovations. So are we going to pour, a couple million or a million into renovating City Hall to get it up to code and up to snuff and meet some of our more pressing needs? Or do we look at purchasing a building, or do you go out and build new? Those are kind of your three options. So we're spending money regardless, and we're just going through all of the processes to make sure that we're spending the taxpayers' money in the most wise way possible. You know, are we getting what is functional and being prudent with the tax dollars. So,
okay,
it's kind of one of those things where you don't want to go buy a building on Main Street, but if one becomes available, you don't want it to sit vacant either, and it just so happens to have nice square footage. It was just kind of a bunch of dominoes lining up that were like, oh, hey, you know, while we're talking about this, we should look into this property. So that's what's kind of led us down this emeritus path. And so far, things keep falling into line. What we're doing right now is we're trying to get a firm estimate on what it's going to take to go inside and make the building what we want and make it functional for our City Hall purposes. So we're having a little bit of trouble doing that, you know, with fluctuating business costs and supply chain. Nobody's wanting to give us a firm number, and I don't want to lead the city down a process where we get into the building and all of a sudden the price tag becomes twice as big and we should have gone out and built new, or we should have stayed where we were to begin with. So just further exploring that, and you're going to keep hearing about this on The View going forward as well.
As of right now, it still looks pretty good. That's probably going to be the way we're going, but we don't know for sure yet.
It's, you know, everything that we keep looking into, it keeps looking better. You know, it's going to be about, we're thinking it's going to be about 60% of the cost of if we had gone new. And adding on to City Hall, just one of the problems, for example, is, you know, it doesn't, City Hall's a split level, right? So in order to make that ADA accessible, if you add on to it at all, you got to add ramps, and you're taking up so much space just getting people to be able to traverse from the old part to the new part that you're throwing away. You're burning a lot of money just trying to make it up to code.
Okay. If only we couldn't just beam them from here to there.
Transporter technology. We're
talking about the year 3000 with the state. You know.
When the highway gets fixed. We'll
All right.
We won't need cars anymore because we'll be transporting around.
That's right. We can dream. Okay. Well, that's all that's really on the agenda.
Yeah. One other thing, Dan, that we had was we approved a letter of intent for Rural Workforce Housing Grant. This is money that since we... We received a grant back in 2017, the Wayne Community Housing Development Corporation did, and we were a partner with that. And so since we were part of that and they received that grant, we are now eligible for another grant opportunity. So we're looking at doing some exploration of buying some potential property for a new subdivision, those types of things. So that was signed by the mayor last night, or will be signed by the mayor, and then we would have until the end of January to actually apply for that grant. There's $10 million out there, and we could apply up to $1 million, somewhere between $250 and $1 million. So we're seriously considering that. So the first step of that went last night by authorizing the mayor to sign that letter.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's also just, we're still in the exploring stages to see, you know, that's also got a lot of dominoes that need to fall in order for us to actually take the leap and do it. But this is a kind of an unprecedented program. Yeah. And was this part of ARPA?
This is ARPA funds. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So the American Recovery Act or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
Okay. I'm sure you'll let us know how that progresses.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Okay.
You know, if you don't keep up on The View from Wayne America, you're going to fall behind and be out of touch here.
I suppose I should let you leave and actually get some work done, you know, and then come back. Not stay here the whole time.
Well, I'll hang out, but Wes probably needs to get back to work.
I can do whatever I want. My boss is here. So.
He's your boss?
Yes, he is.
Okay, I never thought about it that way.
I don't try not to think about it that way.
All right. Well, anything else we need to remind people about? What they need to do to keep their sidewalks cleared and all that.
Please do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Run through with what the rules are.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you need to keep your sidewalks free of ice and other accumulated snow and that type of thing 24 hours after the snowfall has ended and all those types of things. It's very difficult when you have the freeze-thaw of you push snow off of a sidewalk and then water melt, you know, the snow is melting and it gets on the sidewalk and it turns to ice again. It's like, what am I supposed to do now? Technically, yes, you're responsible for that sidewalk, that even if it's covered up with ice, even if the city throws snow on your sidewalk, you are still responsible for it. But that, you know, we have to work through some of those issues at times. So anyway, that's the rules, but you know, we'll work with you on that as well.
And it seems overbearing at times, but as somebody who's gone door to door and talked to people, you got to realize the impact that even having an obstructed sidewalk for a couple days, you know, while you're waiting for it to warm up, somebody that has mobility issues or is in like a motorized scooter or a wheelchair, if they're using your sidewalk and it's got an inch of snow on top of ice, it becomes impassable for them, you know, and then you're really hampering their ability to get around, and then they've got to, you know, ask for help or go out and seek alternative methods to get around town. So things that seem trivial, you take for granted sometimes.
We all try to be good neighbors. Yep. That's the bottom line, I think.
The golden rule, Dan. It all comes back to the golden rule.
Okay. All right.
Walking the middle path, the golden rule. What else can we throw some old idioms at you?
All right. Anything concerning like clearing of streets you want to talk about?
I thought clearing the streets went well for the first snowfall. You know, we didn't get hammered too bad, but it was a very wet snow, and that exacerbates the issue of it's that wet and it freezes.
It got really slick very quickly.
Yep, it does. We appreciate the phone calls that we you get and say, hey, this street is slick. Sometimes, like this last one, we didn't go out until later in the afternoon, I think afternoon, to actually do things because it was still snowing.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people get, you know, a little testy up front and saying, well, it's not cleared at 8 o'clock. Well, that's because we're allowing it to snow a while before we get out there.
Yep.
And it's a matter of it's wear and tear on the street every time you go over it. It's wear and tear on the vehicle. It's or the machinery. It's wearing, obviously, gas prices. I mean, just fuel and those types of
people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the extra hours and stuff. So we try to do the best we can with that, but we are cognizant of the bottom line as well.
And there is a method to the madness of the snow removal process and trying to keep streets open. You're talking about how do you remove snow in as efficient way as possible so that if you had to go run an ambulance out to somebody's house, you could get it there as fast as you possibly could, you know, to strategize that. So if you have thoughts or questions about that, I think the snow removal map is actually online.
I'll have to check that.
City Hall. I'm pretty sure it's online. I've looked at it before there.
Okay. Have any issues, you can call down to the city office.
The other thing you also do is you look at the weather, and if it's going to warm up the next couple days, there's a method to that too of, well, let's not push because Mother Nature's going to take care of it. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes she doesn't cooperate with us, and then it freezes up, and so, yeah, it's not a perfect science, that's for sure.
And, but we, I mean, not saying that we're perfect by any means, also we're saying that there's a method to the madness. So, like during the last snow, for example, I had people texting me, you know, like, hey, this intersection was really slick. You know what? Well, I flipped it over and told Wes. Wes told a guy that was out in the truck, and they went and threw some sand down there. Really appreciate those tips and tricks because we're out there for public safety. You know, we're trying to make things as easy to get around and as safe to get around as possible, even during those crazy weather events.
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to work then.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Dan.
You bet. Wes Blakey, Cale Geese, again, our guests today on The View from Wayne, America.
The View from Wayne, America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne, America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne, America. Enjoy the news.